All right. So I see that it's 15 minutes past, so I guess we could go ahead and start. Hopefully, you can hear me all right. Also, the ones that are following the stream or the recording. I can start off by introducing myself. My name is Andreas Fagervik. I work as a research librarian here at Gjøvik, and I've been asked if I can come and talk a little bit about what resources the library can provide you going forward with your master study. So that's the plan for the next 45 minutes. We will see, like I mentioned, on different sources, how you can find them, and also a little bit about reference management and plagiarism. And we can take, I think we can take some questions also at the end. But if we start off with our physical collection, here, obviously, you've been to campus, and you know that the library is on the second floor of the G building. We have a lot of a quite good physical collection, which you, of course, can borrow from. We also have some work and reading spaces, and of course, you can always come by the help desk and ask if you have any questions, for instance, regarding reference management. We also have a variety of courses and events. I will get back to that. But our opening hours, 10 to 6 from Monday to Thursday, and 10 to 3 on Fridays. But of course, if you have an NTNU card, you can access from 6 to 12. And your NTNU card is also your library card. So if you want to borrow from our physical collection, you will need to bring this card with you. This is also for printing. The library catalog that we use might be familiar to a lot of you. It's oria.no. And here you can find pretty much everything that's available to you as a student at NTNU through our collection. So that is both physical and our electronic resources. So here you can simply type in what you're searching for, and if it's available, it will hopefully show up. Also in Oria, you can renew your loans. So any loans that you might have, you can also see the due date, and if it's possible to if it's possible, you can renew it. There can be instances where you can't renew. Perhaps some other students has that particular book, or other students are on the waiting list for that particular book. So that could be a reason why you can't renew your loan. But of course, you can also come by the help desk, and we can look into it. It's also through Oria that you have access to a wide selection of databases. So as you can see, let me just have my pointer here. On top here, you can see databases in the menu here. We have close to 200 different subject databases. I will get back to those also, but chances are, when you are looking for literature to your master dissertation, you probably have to visit some of those databases to find, let's say, the latest research within a particular topic. If you like to work from home and want access to our collections, you need to be logged on through VPN. So if you haven't installed that already, you can search on INSIA. And there are some instruction videos here and also some information about how you can install that on your computer. So again, search for sources, manage loans via my account. For instance, in this case, search for a book called Systematic Review. I see it on top of my results list. I can go ahead and click on it. I can request it if it's not available. In this case, you can see it's a bit small, but you can see that it says NTNU Gjøvik Library. So that means that we have it on our physical shelf. And you will look for the three last numbers and the three last letters to find it on the shelf. But let's say this was not the case. It was not available in Gjøvik. Then you can request it from either Trondheim, if it's available there, from Ålesund. Or you can actually also request books or other material from other libraries in Norway. Usually it takes, if you order a material, usually it takes 45 days. Not 45, but 425, sorry. Before we receive it, you will get either an email or a text and saying that it's available to be picked up from our pickup shelf. And you can easily borrow and return via the self-checkout machine. Loan periods, 4 weeks usually, 2 weeks for course books. And like I mentioned, you can renew your loan, actually up to six months at a time. Okay, so that's Oria. The second resource or search engine I would recommend is Google Scholar. I don't know if you are familiar with Scholar, but as long as you are connected to the internet here at campus or via VPN if you're working from home, you have access to our electronic resources also in Google Scholar. And you can easily see if the document, you type in the search, and you can see on the right-hand side if we have that, let's say if it's a research article. If it's available in full text, you will have a link on the side there if it's available. I could briefly mention before I move on to databases that when it comes to searching in both Oria and Google Scholar, particularly if you're searching for, let's say, a subject without really knowing exactly what you're looking for, both these search engines can be a little bit tricky to search in because there's a huge amount of content in both these, both in Oria and Google Scholar. So it can be a little bit difficult to narrow down your search if you don't know exactly what you're looking for. But if you know, let's say, the title of an article you're looking for, you can feed it directly into the search box here, and chances are, if we have it, it will appear. I already mentioned briefly the databases. Actually, instead of me, or I can briefly mention, okay, so each database that we have has usually a different subject coverage. So like I mentioned, we have close to 200 different subject databases. I have included a little list here with some databases I think can be suitable for you. The first one is ACM Digital Library. It's really for mainly computer science related material. You have a couple other ones within engineering. And then you also have one called Web of Science and another one called Scopus. They are both very good, so it really comes down to what do you prefer to use with regards to those two databases. They are also something we call citation databases. So you can search for any material and you can find, for instance, how many times an article has been cited by other researchers. So that is a way of searching, I guess you could say, forward instead of backwards, like you usually do. Also, have a couple other ones there, Science Direct and SpringerLink. Google Scholar, I mentioned, Uri, I mentioned. And I will give you this presentation afterwards to be available in Blackboard. So there are also some links here to NTNU Open, where you can find previously master thesis and bachelor thesis you can find in NTNU Open. And also at NTNU Academic Writing, which is a page that contains some information about some useful tips and tricks regarding searching for literature, how to reference or how to cite sources, and also a little bit about academic writing. Okay, so, but of course, when it comes to searching, maybe particularly in these databases, usually what you're looking for here is perhaps a research article or something that we call conference proceedings. While in Uria and also in Scholar, it kind of includes more types of sources, like for instance books and also perhaps some public information you can find there, which you won't find in the different databases. Most of them, at least. So really, when looking for literature, you need to have a sense of, okay, so what type of sources are you looking for? What type of sources do you need in your paper or dissertation that you're writing? So, for instance, books could be give you a nice depth and overview of a topic. You have articles, like I mentioned, for new research results. Statistics, public information could be nice for some background information, perhaps to support some arguments that you have in your paper. Also, other sources, obviously web pages, encyclopedias, could be useful, patents, standards. But the question is, of course, at university level, there's not all sources that are suitable. So if we try to, say, rank them, or attempt to rank them, like what are perhaps the best sources to use in a bachelor thesis or a master thesis, you kind of could have a chart like this, where you have the peer-reviewed article on top. And perhaps some of you are wondering, okay, so what is a peer-reviewed article, or what does that mean? In short terms, it means that other experts in the field have made a quality assessment of that article before it is published. So this is called what we call the peer review process. So a researcher can send their paper to other experts. They might say, you need to change this, you need to do that, before they send it back. And this process can go back and forth until those other peers no longer can I guess you could say, poke holes in that article. And then it's published. This process can take some time. So in some fields, for instance, in computer science, the advancement or I guess you could say, technology or research moves forward with such speed that you don't have really time to always go through that peer review process. So to get the research out there faster, it's usually done by presenting it at a conference. And so then you can find often in one of those databases what we call conference proceedings, which have high quality oftentimes, but usually are not peer-reviewed. Of course, you have course books, gray literature, which contains a whole lot of things, reports, dissertation, government documents, etc. So the point is really that this is, I guess you could say, kind of the type of sources that you want to be using in an academic paper. But okay. So if we move a little bit on, how can you find these different sources? I already mentioned that if you know which author, which article you want to find, that you can use Google Scholar or Urja. But on the other hand, if you need to find some information about a subject, usually what we recommend here is that you go directly in one of the different subject databases that we have. And the reason being that you will get a more precise search by going to the database, in contrary to Google Scholar and Urja. So really, when finding information about a subject, there are really two different ways of doing it. You can expand or start from a single document. So that's the first one. Or you can perform a so-called subject search. But let's take this one, starting from a single document first. There really are three ways to go about doing this. So first off, you can look at the references. Let's say you have a highly relevant article which is right on topic on what you're writing about. So here you can go through the references in that article and see if, okay, perhaps there's something useful here that you can that you also can use for your paper. So that's one way. Obviously, you can look at the author. Is this perhaps a leading expert in the field? Do they have they published some more about this subject? Or you can also do what I mentioned earlier, a so-called citation search. So you look at, okay, so what other researcher have cited this particular article in their work? And you can perhaps, maybe there are some potential potential sources there that you can use for your paper. So those are three different ways of starting from a single document. Another one, if you don't have a single document to go by, first off, you need to know, okay, so what type of information do you need? Perhaps you need to divide your search into different different searches, of course, depending on what you're looking for. Obviously, think about where can you find this information. And secondly, I would recommend that you develop a sort of a search strategy. And the reason being that it's very easy to use a lot of time searching if you go in those different databases or search engines if you don't really have a good sense of what you're looking for. That's one thing. Another thing is if you haven't thought about relevant search terms or keywords before you start your search, you could spend a lot of time. I've done this myself. Spent a lot of time really not finding anything relevant to the subject that I'm writing about or the paper that I'm writing. I won't go much further into when it comes to literature searching. We don't have time for that today. Just want to mention a few, I guess you could say, common principles that applies to the different search engines and databases that I mentioned. So the first one is what in, I guess you could say, librarian terms, we call them Boolean operators. They are the same in Google Scholar, they are the same in Uria, and most of the different databases. So what they really do is you combine the keywords, the search terms, with either AND, so that will retrieve results with both those keywords. Or you can use OR here, which will retrieve either one, the other, or just one of them. That was wrong. All right. So one, both of them. So this is a way of expanding your search, and this is a way of narrowing your search. Using NOT, I wouldn't necessarily recommend, because chances are that you will leave out relevant content for in terms of what it is you're looking for. The second thing is phrase searching. This is usually done by quotation marks, so this will give you results that containing those exact words in that order. So this is also a way of narrowing your search. You have truncation, usually an asterisk, which will give you results for different variants of a word. So, for instance, compute with an asterisk will give computer, computes, computing, computable, and so forth. And also, lastly here, nesting to combine. Actually, it's better if I give you an example here. So here is usually how we build up a search. So you start with a term. Perhaps you need to include a synonym. And the reason we include synonyms is because we don't know if the scientist or researcher that published that paper, what term they used. It can be different. Obviously, some different variants of a term of a phenomenon. So you need to be aware of that when finding keywords. When we also try to include them, combine them with another search term and another one, and here's an example of what a complete search string could look like. So for instance, eye tracking, eye gazing, it's getting late. As a search string, but as a phrase searching. Apologize. So as a phrase, include with user interface, multi-mod or multi-channel, and in this case, I also narrow it down to, let's say, past 5 years, and the document type research article. Also, this, if you find a good search string, try using the same string, the same keywords in different databases, in different search engines. But I should mention that some adjustment may be necessary depending upon where you are searching. But okay. So let's say you found a bunch of articles, perhaps you have some different web pages, perhaps some government documents that you consider using in your paper. Really, when it comes to evaluating sources and choosing what to use, the main point here is that you need to be critical of what you're choosing. So we want to look at, okay, so first off, does the title matches the research question that you have? Not only the title, you also want to be looking at the abstract of, let's say, if it's an article. Obviously, what type of document it is, who's the author, is it peer-reviewed, what year is it from, how was the method section in that particular article, does it have a reference list? So all these things is something you would keep in the back of your head while evaluating these sources to determine if they are suitable for your paper. Another tip is be ruthless in selecting what to read. It's easy to find a lot of interesting information and get lost in reading all of it, but really if it's not relevant to your paper, I would recommend that it's better to move on. So always have that in mind, the relevance to your paper. Other things, use bookmarks, color highlights. So yeah. All right. Last theme of today, citing or reference management. Why cite at all? So it's really about recognizing other people's work. It also enables the reader to identify, okay, so what are your thoughts? What are what ideas, what arguments have you gathered from others? So really, this is a way of ensuring academic integrity. And so that's very important. And also, of course, it demonstrates that you're able to find, choose, and use relevant literature. So it demonstrates knowledge about your field. Really, it shows that you have done research. So it's very, very important. A question we often get is, okay, so do you need to cite everything, or really what do I have to cite? The first thing I can say here is that it's considered good practice to introduce a source early in a paragraph. There's no need to cite sources which are common knowledge. So, for instance, that Norway is a the constitution. For instance, the date of the constitution or the year it was decided. You don't need to state the source for that. But of course, when you refer to something, if you're using direct quotes, the rule here is that you always need to include page numbers. So if you're quoting directly, always page number. And it also varies a little bit here depending on how long the quote is. At least in APA, the APA style, if the quote is more than 40 words, you need to. It's not supposed to be in quotation marks, but that you jump down a section and mark it clearly in your document. I don't know which style you're using, but really, when we're talking about the most common reference styles at NTNU are Harvard, APA, and Vancouver. So really, the difference here is that Harvard and APA, there are some slight differences between them, but they are similar in that they have this sort of an author year style, whereas Vancouver has this numbered style. We also often get a question: when you're paraphrasing, you need to include the page number. And really, there's no rule saying that you have to include the page number when paraphrasing, but sometimes it could be useful for the reader. I would also recommend using a reference management tool. So I don't know if you're writing in LaTeX or Word, but if using LaTeX, you have BibLaTeX, which is a tool. Also, Zotero can be used with LaTeX. And we have some introduction courses via the university library. Most of those introduction courses, I don't think we have that many left this semester, but next semester there usually is once every week or so. So you can, if you want to participate, I have the link here so which you can come back to check the dates. When it comes to images, tables, figures, how do you cite that in your paper? This is also a question we get a lot. of course, when it comes to pictures, you need to be aware of the copyright issues. And I actually also say, you can ask yourself, do you actually need this picture in your paper, especially if you don't know if that picture has been released for further use, let's say through a Creative Commons license, then I would strongly recommend that you don't use that image in your paper because of the copyright issues. When it comes to figures, tables, representation of a theoretical model, for example, with a flowchart, these are usually not considered as an image or art. So in those cases, usually the general rules of citation applies. So of course, you always need to cite the sources you're using. Lastly, when it comes to plagiarism, because it could be a little bit difficult to know, okay, so what is considered plagiarism and what is not? So I've brought with me some examples. So here on the left, you can see the original text, which is really just copy-pasted. Yes, they are saying according to Moser, so you could argue that, okay, so they are referencing to Moser, but this is a direct quote, just copied and pasted, so this is considered plagiarism. This would, on the other hand, if this was marked clearly that this is a direct quote with page number, with quotation marks, if it's less than 40 words, that wouldn't be considered plagiarism. But in this particular case, it is plagiarism. There's another example where the author has been a little bit creative and used and changed some of the words for a synonym. And so why is this plagiarism? Well, first off, it's missing, it's still considered a direct quote, so it's missing quotation marks, it's missing page number. So really the point here is that you can't simply just change a few words and think it's okay, because it's not. But let me give you an example of something that is okay. So here you can see the author has kept the meaning of the original passage, but without copying the exact words and structure. But of course, and also referencing here earlier. So like I said, it's good practice to introduce the source early. I see we have about 5 minutes left. Let's see. Are there any questions? So for the students watching the recording, the question was if those reference management courses are just in Norwegian or English. The answer is they are in both. So, yeah. Anyone else? Like I mentioned, this presentation will be available in Blackboard. I've also included some bullet points here, common mistakes when doing a literature review. Some FAQ here, questions that we usually get when it comes to to literature search. So, for instance, so let's say you have completed your literature search, but you discovered some additional material that you want to include in your paper. So how do you go about doing that? And the answer here is that literature searching, it is really a dynamic process. So it's common to jump, let's say, there was some back and forth. Here is a link to the NTNU academic writing page. Let me see if I can show you real quick. So here, as you can see, there's some more information about finding sources, using and citing sources. Here we also have a link to the different reference management tools. And you have also some example of, let's say, if you are using Harvard. And you're wondering, how do I cite a journal article? And you can click here, and you will find the structure, you will find some examples, how you can put it in text, and also in your reference list. And also, if you're using, let's say, EndNote or Zotero, it tells you how you can add those references to those particular tools. Lastly, if you're working from home, you have a question, a library-related question, you can always visit us in the virtual library. This is a project we started up during the pandemic. It's a collaboration between Gjøvik, Ålesund, and Trondheim. So it really works the same way as the physical library help desk. So it's open 10 to 2 each every day. Okay. Thank you.